All right. Good evening. So, Brother Mike texted me yesterday. I think it was yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And he said, "Hey, you got something for Wednesday?" And so, yeah, I do.
Thank you.
But you're not going to get what I had for Wednesday because stayed up till about midnight last night wrestling with the Lord because I had a great message that I wanted to preach. And, man, God just said no. And I really wanted to do it. It was exciting. Like it was something that I really thought, oh, this will be great. But you can't have that. That one, I guess, was for me. So you get this one. So let's open up to Hebrews. And we'll just pray that this will be a blessing to you. It's been a verse in here that I've been meditating on for a couple weeks now. And I wasn't quite sure exactly what it meant. But I've been studying it and I've been reading it. And it's Hebrews, and I understand the doctrine behind Hebrews, but I'm going to take some spiritual liberty and look at it from a spiritual application here. So we're going to go to Hebrews 12, and I'll start here in verse number 5. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening. God, I just pray that this message blesses somebody here tonight. I don't know what everybody's going through, Lord. I don't know what happens behind closed doors. I don't know who you're dealing with. But God, I just thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray that you give me the confidence to just preach this the way that you showed it to me. And Lord, just help me to not screw it up. Love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we just had Father's Day last Sunday, right? And most people here probably have fathers. Maybe some don't anymore. It's a day where we can celebrate fathers, right? We can recognize the importance of fathers, their role. We can show gratitude for what our fathers do for us. Dads are a huge part of the family unit. Yeah. It's an important job. It's an important role, right? And with important jobs come important responsibilities. And the list of responsibilities for fathers is great, right? I can get an amen to that. We got a lot of responsibility. I think one of the biggest responsibilities that we have, though, would be this exhortation that the Bible talks about here in verse number 5. It says, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son," the Bible says. So exhortation, I always thought it was just like correction or discipline. It's a lot more than that. Yeah. If you look into it, it can't be categorized with just correction or discipline. If you look it up, it says to incite by words, to animate or urge to a good deed or course of action. To excite, to give strength, spirit, or courage. And in here the Bible's asking, or telling actually, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." Father's Day never really meant anything to me. I didn't grow up with a dad. I told my mom, "Happy Father's Day." Like, she deserves it, right? I don't know if any of you came from single households, but the mom deserves the happy Father's Day if she's the only one in the house, right? So for me, it never really meant anything. I didn't meet my dad till I was probably, I think I was 7 or 8. He came to my birthday one weekend and showed up out of nowhere. And me and my sister were arguing during that visit, and he thought he was going to correct me, and I wasn't having no part of it. Who are you going to show up after 8 years and correct me and try to play dad, right? Like, I despised his correction because he wasn't worthy to correct me, right? Had a couple incidences like that through my life. I seen him again when I was 17, same kind of issue. I'm not going to sit up here and badmouth my dad. He did what he did for his reasons. But I say all that because growing up, I didn't know what that father-son relationship was supposed to be like, right? So when I got saved, got adopted into this family, right? I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what my role as a son to a father was. I didn't know. I didn't know what a father's role was, basically, right? But now I know what it's like. Yeah. You know what it's like? It's exciting. It's exciting. Me and my kids, we have father-son days, right? Or father-daughter days. And it's an exciting time. It's a one-on-one, right? One-on-one with my boy or one-on-one with my girl. And it's exciting. I got a video on my phone, Gabriel. He takes my phone and takes pictures of himself sometimes, right? Sorry, bud. Or he'll make little videos. And I got this one video. I can't even watch it most of the time because I'll just weep. It's beautiful. He was a little kid and we were having a father Sunday. And he's on there just talking about how exciting it is, right? That relationship with the father should be exciting. There should be some excitement to it, right? Exhortation should incite some sort of emotion. Yeah? And I got to learn what that relationship was like with the father and his son. And it's an exciting thing. But just like any good father, right, God has to chasten his children. We mess up. And God has to chasten us. But the Bible uses this word exhortation, which is more than that. Like I was talking about. Let's read a couple more verses here. Verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons." Can you remember tonight the last time that God dealt with you about something? Time that God exhorted you about something? Most of the time it's pretty uncomfortable, right? Thank you. It's pretty uncomfortable because he's correcting something that we did wrong, right? Exhort you or discipline you in any kind of way, you can just tune out because this ain't for you, right? You got it all figured out. Well, God's, it's not that he's not doing it, it's that your ears or your heart are already closed. To exhort me and correcting me as his son, right? As his son. If you endure the chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, the Bible says. God deals with us about all kinds of different things. I'll tell this story because we got a little bit of time. So the last couple months, God's been dealing with me about some things. And I wasn't content with the way things were going, right? I'll just be honest. So I thought, if I'm not content, then I need to be doing more, right? If my relationship with God isn't where I want it to be, then I need to put in more service, or I need to put in more work, or I need to do more. And God really corrected me on that. And he said, you know what, that's not what you need to do right now. Right now you need to focus on one thing. You need to do one thing. Doing more and putting in more. Don't mistake movement for progress. Because that's not what it is. You can run in place all day and not go anywhere. You can move a whole bunch and not get anywhere. But if you focus on the thing that God wants you to focus on, right? And you put your all in that thing. It's exciting. God starts moving. God starts doing stuff. And if you've been in this church the last couple months and you haven't seen God doing something, your eyes are closed. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Praise God for that. Verse number 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, which we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. For our profit, right? Dads discipline their kids sometimes for their own profit. Sure. I've been guilty of that, yeah. Right? Keep it down so I can watch the game, right? That's not for their profit. Telling them to be quiet so that I could enjoy something, that's not for their profit, right? Hey, don't ride your bike around my car, it'll scratch it. It's not for their profit, right? We could go down the list over and over. I hope I'm not the only dad in here that's guilty of that, right? But sometimes we discipline for our profit. But God's not that kind of father. No. What's he going to gain? Right? God doesn't need us to show how good he is. Right? What's he got to gain from chastening us? The Bible says here it's for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You know, it can be painful to get chastened, but without pain, there's no growth.
Right.
You can't have growth without pain. Sometimes you have to go through the fire, as they say, right? You guys ever heard of there's a pine tree. It's called a lodgepole pine tree. And its pine cone is sealed all the way up with resin, right? This pine cone's fully sealed with resin, and those pine seeds or whatever they are in there that grow the new trees, they could be in there for years, mature, ready to go. But the only way that those things ever get dropped, fertilized, reseed a new tree, is if they get burnt. They gotta go through the fire to produce anything. A lot of examples like that that God gives us. We got fruit trees. Not a lot, just a couple. But, our fruit trees, we gotta prune them pretty heavy before they're gonna produce. I didn't know that about trees. When we moved into where we're at, our neighbors had a big apple orchard out there. Beautiful apple trees. And then in the wintertime, they'd hack those things down to where it was just nubs, right? The ugliest looking tree ever. And you're thinking, why in the world would you hack those trees down to those nubs, right? Well, then the next year they were loaded with apples, yeah. Right? So I thought, well, hey, maybe I need to do that to my tree. I'm only getting a couple apples. So we hacked it down, ugliest tree, ugly little stick out of the ground. And the next year it is just heavy laden with fruit, right? Got to prune some stuff back sometimes. We got to get chastened. We have to be exhorted to put on the fruit that God wants us to produce. Pruning is necessary. Now I'll get to the verse that I've been meditating on for a couple weeks. Verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I was reading through this and I was going through some things and God was kind of beating me up a bit about some things and that brother down in, what was his name? Real tall guy down at Brother Glenn's, John Robinson. John Robinson preached one of the best messages I ever heard about getting beat up. It was wonderful. It changed the way I look at getting beat up, right? It was great. But after that, I was reading through here and I saw this and I thought, man, for some reason, this verse just really, it really stuck out to me. And I tried memorizing it and I butcher it, but I remember, you know, the key words. But it really just stuck out. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Now, ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Hardly ever there's joy in chastening, right? Kids are not joyful when they're getting a whooping for whatever they did wrong. There's no joy in that, right? And there's no joy to the Father either during those times. Or the mother. There's no joy in that. It's grievous. It's a hard thing to deal with. When your kids aren't doing what they're supposed to do, right? When your kids aren't reverencing the things that they should. Or... anyway, I'll just go on from that. It's grievous. It's grievous. But nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What is that peaceable fruit of righteousness? I just thought it sounded really good, to be honest. I thought that sounds really good and I want to have that. Like, I've been getting chastened and now I'm ready for the afterwards part, right? And that sounded great, but I didn't really understand it. What does it mean? What is the peaceable fruit of righteousness? So lately I've been looking up a lot of words because I graduated from Battleground and there's not high standards there. And so some words I need to look up, right? Now I know what fruit is. I know what that one is. And I know a few things about fruit. I know it grows naturally. I know you can't force it to grow. Right? I know it can't be faked. There's fake fruit flavors that don't taste nothing like the real fruit. Right? You can't fake it and you can't force it. I know what fruit is. But righteousness. No, I thought, okay, I know what righteousness is. That means, you know, you're doing what's right, holy. But where does it come from? Righteousness is the fruit of obedience. The fruit of obedience. There's a reason God worded it this way. No chastening for the present seemeth joyous but grievous. But what comes after the chastening is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. If you choose to obey what the Lord's telling you. Righteousness is the fruit of obedience. So we got fruit. Grows naturally, can't be forced or faked. Righteousness is the fruit of the obedience. Peace. Peace. So I looked up peace. Just did a word search on peace. Comes up a lot. It's used over 400 times in scripture. Peace. So I read a lot. A lot of verses. And then I found this one. Let's go to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, 14. I'll get there. Psalms 34, 14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now that sounds like four instructions, right? You got depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. But there's a little punctuation thing there that looks like the winky face if you do it in an emoji, right? The semicolon. Now, like I said, I went to Battleground, so I wasn't sure what that semicolon meant either. So I looked it up. And it says to link two independent clauses, right? So for those of you that didn't know what a semicolon was, God put that there for a reason, right? That semicolon, every little piece in the scripture is here for a reason, including that little semicolon, right? So if it's to link two independent clauses, you have depart from evil, do good. That's one. And then similarly to that is seek peace and pursue it. That's starting to make sense? Is the picture of this peaceable fruit of righteousness, peaceable fruit of righteousness starting to come together, right? Peace comes from departing from evil and doing good. Righteousness is the fruit of obedience. And fruit is something that has to grow naturally. Now it sounds even better than it did before. Right? At first I thought it sounded good, but now it sounds even better. Psalms 85:10 says, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They're real close. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That's exciting. That's exciting. If we're not getting excited about stuff like that, there's a problem. Good. It's exciting to know that our Father wants to exhort us. Amen. It's exciting to know that the reason He does it is so that we can be partakers of His holiness. That's exciting. The next verse says, wherefore lift up thy hands which hang down and the feeble knees. There's something to celebrate. There's something to get excited about. If we're not getting excited when we come here, if we're not excited for what God's doing, if it doesn't just make you want to, you know, shout amen once in a while, make you want to just go give your brother a hug over here. Man, when Dan was up here the other day, it was all I could do to stay in my seat, man. I just want to go hug that brother. Same with Brother Terrazas when he was up here. There should be something about coming here.
Yeah.
Coming here with this body of you people. That should make you excited. So if you want that peace, that peaceable fruit of righteousness, you got to be listening to your Father. I looked up I got the pleasure of being down with the teens the other day, and I've been doing this for a while. When I don't know words, I just look them up, right? Because I'm not going to pretend like I know everything. You know what the Webster's 1828 says the definition of reproof is? This was good. I loved it. It says, blame expressed to your face. Reproof. And we're supposed to regard that. And we're supposed to value that. Blame expressed to your face. Now there's something that happens when you get saved, because I would never have been excited about that before. Right? That would never have been exciting. I would have wanted to express other things to somebody's face. But reproof we're supposed to get excited about. Correction we're supposed to get excited about. Exhortation we should be getting excited. When authority reproofs you, blame expressed to your face, I love that. I love it. It's exciting. I don't know how much the teens thought it was exciting. I thought it was exciting. But eventually, it should be exciting, right? Because God's talking to you.
Yeah.
And God's doing something.
Yeah.
Right? We're his sons and daughters. It's exciting to have a father that wants to share his holiness, right? With us. Why? With us. It's exciting. I don't understand it. Him going to the cross was more than enough. But it doesn't end there. It just keeps going. And it's constant. If you let it. If your ears and your heart aren't closed up. He will constantly be exhorting you. Something to get excited about, guys. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for this time. God, thank you for, Lord, just loving us enough to care enough to exhort us, to reprove us, Lord, to correct us, Lord, to be willing to share in your holiness with us. God, just thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for your words. God, please be with this church. In Jesus' name, amen.